We're continuing a series of conversations about the Democratic candidates for President of the United States. Currently, there are 10 in the running, and we're talking about a few at a time each week to try and examine their profiles according to issues right now, more than polls. This week, we're going to talk about Senator Bob Graham of Florida, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, and Missouri Representative Dick Gephardt. John Harwood is following the candidates for the Wall Street Journal and joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be here.
Let's start with Senator Graham, who is reassessing his candidacy this week.
Bob Graham is one of the interesting figures in the Democratic race. He's somebody who probably had his most opportune moment to run for president during the 1980s when he was the governor of Florida. Governors tend to do better than legislators in this process. But during this campaign, he's really actually found his voice on the issue of foreign policy and national security. He opposed President Bush on the war resolution in Iraq, not because he said he was a pacifist, but because he thought it was aiming after the wrong antagonist. It was distracting attention away from the war on Al-Qaeda and instead putting resources into Iraq, which did not pose, in his view, an imminent threat to the United States, and in fact might produce more terrorists by making the United States more of a target throughout the Arab world.
As he reassesses his candidacy, what are some of the options that he can pursue with this this new lineup, primary lineup?
With the small amount of money that he has, there are a couple of ways you could focus your campaign. One is the state of Iowa, which is the kickoff state with the caucuses that they have. It's a place that where organization is at a premium, and you could focus all your resources there. There's another option, though, which is the South Carolina primary on February the 3rd. That's a place where a moderate to conservative Democrat may have a better chance to build a constituency. That's another option for him to focus his resources on.
Let's ask about Howard Dean. How does it happen that the former governor of one of the smallest states in the union is now regarded by many as if there is a front runner in this group of 10, it would be him?
Scott, it's very simple. Howard Dean has got the most powerful message in the Democratic primary, and he has lit a match with Democratic primary voters. He started very early, and the war, his opposition to the war, was sort of an emblem of a larger opposition and willingness to fight George W. Bush, who is extremely unpopular with Democratic voters, in addition to the fact that he is a governor, an executive, and voters tend to like executives in their potential presidents.
Mm-hmm. How might it change his campaign now that he has to run, not as an underdog, but as the front runner?
Well, we're going to see right now what his staying power is. He's become the central focus of attack of other campaigns. They've gone after him on Medicare. Mm-hmm. They've gone after him on other issues, basically as somebody who's kind of a loose cannon, who says things and later changes his mind on issues like Social Security. He came out initially and indicated that he would consider raising the Social Security retirement age. That's very unpopular with American voters. He subsequently said, no, that's off the table, and so his rivals are saying he's flip-flopping.
And let's ask finally this week about Dick Gephardt. Probably the most familiar face to many among those that have been running for president. He's been running for president or running parts of the Congress for a long time now. There is a distinct difference between Senator Gephardt on an issue like free trade and most of the other Democratic candidates.
Dick Gephardt has drawn a bright line that other Democrats have not gone across, and that is he presented himself as the closest friend to labor among the national Democratic leadership. Dick Gephardt was opposed to NAFTA. He's opposed some more recent trade deals, and he's trying to now draw on those friendships with organized labor. Interestingly, he did not succeed in getting the AFL-CIO to endorse his candidacy in October. Labor is trying to calculate, yes, Dick Gephardt is our closest friend in the race. Can he win the election? And he's trying to get over that electability hurdle with labor.
You've mentioned a couple of times just in this conversation today that executives seem to make a better impression on many voters than legislators. Mr. Gephardt is kind of a career legislator. What is the difference in the minds of many voters as you've heard it or heard it articulated?
The problem for legislators is legislators cast a lot of votes, and you can pull out votes and say you were wrong on this and wrong on that, make a lot of attack ads to go after. Secondly, they deal with a lot of legislation which may have caused them to change positions over time. And most importantly, they don't have the clear decision-making authority that governors have, so the governor can say, as Howard Dean does, Dick Gephardt, I've done more to expand health care in the state of Vermont than you ever have with all your talk in Washington.
There's another candidate debate next week in Phoenix. Do you have a feeling right now as to what issues are going to come into play?
Well, this is going to be a debate conducted in the state of Arizona. Hispanic voters are very important in Arizona. It's a swing state in the election. I think this is going to be significant as another chapter in the debut of Wes Clark. He's going to have a burden of persuasion on Democratic primary voters so that they know his heart and his instincts are in a similar place as theirs, and he's going to have to back that up with some policy.
John, thank you very much.
Great to be here.
John Harwood, political reporter for The Wall Street Journal.